Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. I want to tell everybody at 5:20 today, we'll have on with us Michael Arkush, who wrote the book, The Golf 100, ranking the top 100 golfers in golf history. Interesting take with Mike, and we'll have him talk about the book and like I said, told Charlie, I saw three of the top five. I just film on Bobby Jones and Ben Hogan. I didn't get to cover those guys at that time. And at 5:35, he's Thomas Edison of sports technology, and Jack Marucci of at LSU all those years, and he's come up with some unbelievable things technology wise. Also, sold the Marucci bat situation, and that we'll get him to talk about that, the torpedo bats that are now in vogue, certainly with the Yankees, and get him to talk about his start in the technology world of sports, which he's opened up a lot of doors. And he didn't just wake up one morning and said, that's what I'm going to do in this life. So I'll let Jack tell his story starting around 5:35, 5:40. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Philip. Philip, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up,
Philip? Good, Philip.
Okay. All right. Mike, I'm going to save my draft question for another day, but I want you to take us back in time a little bit. Today on NFL Network, they kind of brought up, you know, what the draft was like before they had television and everything. Can you enlighten the fans going back, you know, what the draft, you know, the Saints draft, you know, before there was TV, how it was ran.
Well, part of that is it was on radio. And so I know here on WWL they did it along with, I think, one other station in New Orleans, that when the Saints would make a pick, they would come on the air and announce it. And a lot of times the Saints were picking so high back then, you didn't have to wait too long if the draft started at 9 o'clock in the morning to get who the pick is. But it was totally different. I know Archie tells the story. This is 1971, so this isn't like ancient history. He got pulled out of class to get a phone call from the Saints, and he talked to John Meacham Jr., the owner. He talked to J.D. Roberts, the head coach. Hung up the phone, went back to class. Think about how they do it today. But it was really covered that way and done mostly by radio. There was no live TV coverage until the 80s, and ESPN really spun that into a franchise of its own. But I never forget, this is probably 1975. Pete Finney wrote an article in the Times-Picayune, and sort of set the stage of what we would see later on, that he could see one day Walter Cronkite, who, you know, he was the guy on CBS National News, that he would be the guy giving you the picks as the first round came apart. And so, it's a totally different world. You heard it on the radio or you read it in the newspaper, but it was the coverage until ESPN came involved. They were looking for content at that time, and the draft gave it to them. It was real live kind of happening in front of you. And so that's how it came about. But I know as a kid growing up, you would listen to either WWL or there was another station in town. And as soon as the Saints would pick, they would come up and give you the selection and you would get a little bio of that particular player. That's how it was done back then. And it seems to be a crazy world. And now it's one of the most watched events on ESPN, and it's on the NFL Network, ABC. Huge ratings come out of that. So that's how it was done back then. It was mostly, I would say 99% of it was either radio or newspaper coverage. WFAN in New York was the first radio station in 1976, I think I'm right about this, to actually cover it on the radio.
It's pretty incredible, Mike, the evolution. I mean, you think of how, and the NFL loves doing this for like all their events in the offseason because it keeps them in the highlights, so to speak, for basically all 12 months of the year. You know, you think of the combine now and how that's evolved as well, but also the schedule release, all these random kind of events, they've kind of turned into, you know, not necessarily like the money turning machine or anything like that, but they stay in the news, right? They stay busy.
You know what it is, Charlie? It's reality TV.
Yeah, effectively. And you're hopping from city to city now with the draft and, you know, Green Bay's going to host it this year and you'll see, you know, they'll boo whatever Bears representative goes up to say the picks and the later rounds and everything like that. So it's just the evolution. It's been really fascinating to see because, you know, obviously that's way before my time, but seeing how big it is now, as you kind of mentioned, it's a huge event for all 32 fan bases. And we talked a little bit about it too, Mike, with every fan base or every team holding their first round pick, every single fan base is invested this year. And so that adds
everything.
To it
too. One thing hasn't changed the same, though. One thing stays. Fans of the Jets, Giants, and Eagles, man, they tell you right off the bat if they like the selection or not.
Yeah.
Man, Andy Reid, they booed him almost out of the arena when he picked Donovan McNabb ahead of Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
Man, we watching it as we doing the coverage for WWL, Buddy DiLiberto and I, and man, they had a lot of Eagles fans. They were throwing stuff on stage, and I mean giving him the raspberry from one end to the other about not picking Ricky. And so that part, Jets, Giants, Eagles fans, they let you know if that pick isn't who they think it should be. Let's go back to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. Hey, man. Happy birthday, man.
Thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. Hey, look, put it on autopilot there with Mike. Just play Bobby Hebert, you know, doing his rant from about 6 months ago. And come on down to the French Quarter Fest, man. We're here, dude. Put it on autopilot.
There you go.
We need a designated driver for him.
What's his favorite catchphrase to say over and over? You tell me.
You're
only
Tom?
As good as your last, I don't know, something like he always says that one and this and that. But we'll hear from him again.
What have you
for
done for me
season.
Recently? Or what have you done what for me lately?
Put that
on auto replay. Come on down to the French Quarter. Come to the French Quarter Fest. Come get a hand grenade. We're headed down there now to go see Bag of Donuts at 6:30.
Oh, well, you'll have a good time. Man, Bobby and I, we partied with Bag of Donuts a couple times.
We had
a good time.
Hey, listen, yeah, man, I did good in the stock market the last 24 hours.
You did pretty well.
Hey, listen, the Pelicans, look, like Charlie said, the season's coming to an end. We got two home games left tomorrow night and Sunday. Man, it's below a G League tonight in Milwaukee. The front court, we talked about it last summer. It was going to be a major hole for us. But again, Carlo Makovich and Yves Mesi have impressed me enough to think that there'll be two solid building blocks in the next year. I know Zion's having some drama with some girlfriends fighting over him. But, you know, look, we still got $1 tickets, and this is the last call on that subject, because after this weekend, guys, it's over. I'm kind of sad to see the Pelican season end. It's just been a major disappointment. I'll finish with this. Why don't we try, because we have talent on the roster, why don't we try to bring some out-of-state or out-of-pocket medical staff to kind of keep these guys in good shape or do some off-season training, because we have too much talent to have 60-70% of the roster get hurt every year like this.
Jimmy, it's a question I get asked about every day.
Yep.
And part of that, too, is self-discipline on your own. Come on, you're a professional athlete. You got to take care of your own body. But I do think in this case here, the Pelicans have to take a long look at that. They really do. To bring in maybe another voice in the room to help them out from that standpoint. But a lot of this, now if it's a broken bone, there's nothing you can do about it. But we've seen way too many injuries. And so if there's a different course in line for training, you got to hear different people's opinion on it. Because what you're doing ain't working.
Mike, I said it last week. The Pelican season was almost done before it started. And all the injuries that just avalanched early on was unbelievable. And to Jimmy's point about all the players out tonight, they have 11 players out tonight. Rod Walker from The Advocate, our friend, posted this earlier today. Said remaining Pelicans players, you have Keon Brooks, Jamal Kane, who had a great pass to Joel Myers the other night, by the way. Carlo Mackovich, Elfrid Payton, Lester Quinones, Antonio Reeves, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, and Kyler Kelly. So those are the players that the Pelicans will have to work with tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. And you can understand why Milwaukee is 15.5-point favorites tonight.
Charlie, you heard me say this late in the Saints season. The offseason will be much more adventurous than the games itself.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be the same thing with the Pelicans.
No, listen, the draft lottery is going to be huge. The night of the draft lottery, when we find out where the Pelicans will officially be picking, is going to set up a lot of discussion for who the Pelicans should take early on in the 2025 NBA draft, which, you know, kind of an early preview, looks like a very solid class. And if the Pelicans stay where they are, they have a very good chance to land up in the top four, which is exactly what you want to see from this, you know, kind of miserable season.
I want to thank Philip and Jimmy for the call. We'll be back, and when we come back on, we'll have on with us Michael Arkus, who wrote the book, The Top 100 in Golf, and an interesting take on the top 100 golfers of all time. Right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglio along with Charlie Long running things behind the scenes. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, just comes out with the book, The Golf 100, Michael Arkish. Mike, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Mike, it's a great concept. And, you know, I've been involved with some people who have written books on NFL players and that sort of thing in college football. My thing is, the golf era, it's changed a little bit, certainly because of the courses, but it's an individual sport, unlike football, unlike basketball or baseball. And I think it's an interesting take on that top 100. And I was telling Charlie, you know, I'm old enough. I remember, man, watching Nicholas and Palmer kind of go off on one another. And then we saw the Tiger era. Most of us didn't really get to see Bobby Jones and Ben Hogan. And the fact that you would put them in the book that early, to me, is a great testimony of their talents and you opening up people to another generation of just how good Ben Hogan and Bobby Jones are.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because that's my intention. I wanted everyone to remember that golf wasn't invented by Arnold Palmer or Tiger Woods. All these incredible players from the past, Jones, Hogan, Snead, Nelson, I could go on and on. They paved the way for the greats today. They didn't make a lot of money. They didn't make quite as many headlines, perhaps, but they made the game better and put everyone in a position to take advantage of that afterwards. And all the players of today owe them so much gratitude.
One of the things, too, is TV. I just think the expansion of TV and the different channels, if it's with Fox, if it's with ESPN, the Golf Channel, I think also has given another generation a look at tournaments they wouldn't necessarily see. And I think that's a huge plus for the golf game, the way you see it today.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, in Netflix has a documentary that they've had a couple of years now about the PGA Tour players. We learn a lot more about the players. My only feeling is I wish the players would be more expressive at times, more relate more to the crowd the way Palmer did, the way other greats from the past did. I mean, they're the reason they are rich and famous is because of us, and they can't forget that.
One of the things, Mike, too, is the involvement with women today. I think you have people, and I have friends of mine that they didn't grow up watching golf. They maybe heard their dad talk about it, or grandfathers talk about it, or their brother, but now they play a little bit of golf. And they are really interested in golf. And I think that's the other element of it. You have a lot of women today with a tremendous amount of interest in the golf game today. That was not there when I grew up in the 70s and 80s.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, look at Nelly Korda, the great woman player now. There's a lot of interest in her. In my book, 15 of the 100 players are women, with the top player being Mickey Wright at number 6. Mickey Wright had many people think, Ben Hogan among them, the greatest swing ever.
Real quick, Mike, before Mike gets to his next question, I wanted to ask you, in the promo for it, that every different golf fan has a favorite golfer, right? Or who do you think is the best? And you'll get different answers. I wanted to ask you about your quote-unquote like rubric for determining the top 100 golfers of all time, specifically at the top. Because once you get to the top 5 or top 3 type of guys, you'll get different answers from golf fans of who the best golfer of all time really is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of all this. There's a debate. But I came up with a numerical system, and I think that system reinforces the fact that Jack Nicklaus is the greatest player of all time. He's got 20 majors, not 18, as many people think, because I'm giving him the 2 U.S. Amateurs he won in 59 and 61. They were taken away. I want to give them back to him. 19 seconds and 9/3. Think of that. 39, that's 40. Jeez. Let me do my math. 47 times, first, second, or third in a major championship.
My dad, you could not convince him. And while he loved Nicklaus, his deal was Sam Snead.
Yeah.
He said that was the guy. Because I remember growing up, that was the guy. When he watched golf, that's who he watched was Sam Snead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at Snead's swing. It was so incredibly smooth. The only drawback, negative I can say about Sam is that he never won the U.S. Open, and he had his chances. He blew his chances. It's a shame because I think that takes away a little bit of his greatness, but he won 82 times, tied with Tiger for the most. And again, that swing was just a work of art.
Yeah, it was picture perfect. In today's game, well, we see the young man in Scottie Scheffler and what he's been able to do. Rory McIlroy is kind of that you either really love him or you dislike him. And listen, I think that's good for golf to have them kind of square off with one another a little bit. We see today just how well Justin Rose is playing at the Masters. But your thoughts on the potential of a Scottie Scheffler and one day being in that upper echelon of golfers?
Well, he's got two majors. He hasn't turned 30 yet. So, yeah, I mean, he's every opportunity to win 5, 6, 7 majors. And once you do that, you're now at this higher level. Very steady. When he putts well, forget about it. And he seems like he's putting really well now. So he's going to be hard to beat at Augusta this week, that's for sure.
Mike, one of the things, too, is in looking back at the generations, do you think it's tougher today to win a tournament? Is the talent level better today than, say, 1975 or 1985?
Okay, I'm glad you brought up 75. I think there are a lot more players who can win, but there were a lot more great players back then in 75. Miller, Watkins, Watson, Trevino, Weisskopf, Irwin, so many who are in the Hall of Fame. And now, I mean, now this generation is a little bit better, but in the Tiger generation, he only had a handful of that level. So I think Nicholas, that era of the 70s is the glory era of golf.
Who would you, I'm going to throw it out to you, Mike. Who do you think will win the Masters? And, you know, I always thought right off the bat, man, this is Scheffler's gig here. He's not won the major tournament this year, but I think maybe the way he's hitting the ball and putting, he got a shot here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you had asked me 3 or 4 hours ago, I would have stuck with my pick of Colin Morikawa, but he stumbled down the stretch coming home today, and Rory had a double coming in. So, and Rose, I mean, Rose has had a lot of leads in Augusta, hasn't won. So, odds on right now, it's got to be Scottie. He's playing really well, 4 under, he's right there.
Tell everybody exactly how they can get your book. I know Amazon carries everything today. I'm sure it's at a lot of the local bookstores, but exactly how they can get the book, and it's the Golf 100.
Yeah, it's available on Amazon. Also, they can go to the Penguin Random House website, purchase it there. I encourage people to buy it. I encourage them to have arguments with their friends because that's the fun of it all.
Mike, I tell you what, just kind of skimming through it, you did a fantastic job in setting that book up and your reasons for that top 100. If you're a golf fan, you got to get this book, The Golf 100. You did a great job writing this book.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All righty. Michael Arcus did a great job. Again, on Amazon.com, you can find the book, The Golf 100. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, he's the Tom Edison of sports technology in the world. We got present Jack Marucci. Jack, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are we doing today?
We're doing great. Jack, I want to ask you right off the bat because, man, seeing what you've done throughout the years, it's not like you rolled out of bed one morning and said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. So tell us about your upbringing, and I think that had a lot to do with your vision on sports technology and different things that you tinkered with throughout the years.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, because we look at even backgrounds of players when we start, you know, when you recruit these guys, what are their demographics, what are areas that they're from, and I think there is a translation on a lot of these guys. I'm, you know, nothing's 100%, But, you know, my background, we came up through a coal mining town in western Pennsylvania, your typical blue-collar family that, you know, we had a lot of immigrants where we grew up. So most of the people that came over to this country where we were from, I guess they were a little bit more curious. You know, they had a little bit more of that DNA. They weren't afraid to, you know, leave. My mom was from Spain. Our other side was from Italy. My grandfather came over. He was 15, then he got deported because you had to be 16. And, you know, it's funny to see all these things on these Ellis Island reports. There's a big stamp, got deported. You know, but, I think it is in a little bit of your DNA. So, you know, so we grew up in a very, you know, blue-collar area, a lot like Louisiana, and it's very similar. And that's why I could always relate to a lot of the situations here. And you know, I think it does build a little bit more resilience in things that you're going to try. I think if you look at, again, I'm comparing Louisiana and where we grew up in Western PA. Go look at the population that came out of there, even from, you know, actors, singers, people that came up with, you know, different inventions. I mean, my little hometown of Uniontown, that's where the Big Mac started. At the time, they could create any sandwich they wanted to. They gave the franchise the flexibility to make any type of sandwich. So that's where the Big Mac started, because they were experiment with different ways to make these sandwiches. And so I think it's just Gene Steratore is from our area, the official that you hear. I mean, we're not from a big area, but it's crazy the population that you see that have come out of those those small areas. And I say this about a lot of Louisiana. I was talking to Alfred Blue, who's a running back for us, and he's from a small town, I think 3,000-4,000. At one time, they had three or four active football, NFL football players. And that is just unheard of. Now, sometimes I think we take it for granted, but I think, it's the upbringing that they have, because he says, you know, we're from these close-knit areas where everybody knows you. And you're held in check also. So you're going to have discipline, because the policemen know your parents know the teachers know the policemen. So, and I think that's what's kind of neat about that. That's what we kind of saw when you talk to the Navy SEALs. They say a lot of these people that come out as a Navy SEAL are from these type of areas. They don't go out and recruit it. That's who comes out at the wash. So you have to be a little bit more, I think, resourceful. I think, you know, when you come up through these environments. So, you know, I'm thankful. I went back and talked to our baseball team. They asked me to come back, and it's a very impoverished area, because a lot of the coal mining's out, and all the steel mills and everything is kind of gone, and you're left with some situations that aren't the best conditions. So, but I told them, I said, look, embrace it. When you get out of high school, when you have an opportunity to go somewhere, you're going to have, you know, you're going to respect the areas you're from. You're going to respect from being from these blue collar areas. Again, I always talk about resiliency, and they'll have a little bit more, you know, tolerance. So, you know, then as I came up and grew, you know, we had a restaurant, and, you know, we all kind of worked around the restaurant from the family side. And my dad was always coming up with ideas, and I think we always were looking for the next, you know, thing. And we weren't afraid to try it. I think that's the thing. You know, we weren't afraid to have failure. So then I think you just apply a common sense trait to it. I mean, why don't we look at this, or why don't we? And so I think that's what helped me a lot in the football part. I came up as an athletic trainer where you are interacting with all the players, and you get a relationship with the player, and you understand them. But if you communicate with them, we're sharing ideas. Why don't we look at this? What will make you a better player? What will make you, you know, see the field better? Or so that's where my brain start working. But also, I realized, you know, being so fortunate, seeing four, you know, national championship teams with four different coaches. One of those were at Florida State with Coach Bowden. That was the Warwick Dunn team and Charlie Ward. I also noticed the type of player we had. Yes, we had talent, but I was always big in the traits, and I start observing that these kids that were our championship teams, they were the better people, the higher character. So that's where we started to say, okay, let's start looking at these championship teams. Let's see what the marks that they have of these traits. And it led to another thing. I wanted to know how they process the game. And that's where this S2 Cognition came in, where the company came in and we helped kind of launch them. And that allowed us to really identify how these guys see the game. It doesn't have anything to do with a book smart, as we would call it. It's how quick you can make decisions, how quick you can scan the field. Do you understand situations, do you get distracted? Can you improvise? And so these were things that I knew if we could identify that would allow us to start narrowing the scope on identifying players. And so we start looking at all these traits, but again, it took us to the next level, and that's where the VR piece really came in, because it only made sense that why can't we train somebody? We have this technology that's starting to, develop along with the AI. So let's see if we can take the pressure off of a player that doesn't have to take all these physical reps, because we understand the separator is the cognition piece. And if you have that, and we can build that, which we, did with Jaden Daniels, and it allowed him to grow. But I will say this, you're only as good as the people around you. I've been very fortunate to have a great, group. I work right now with Mario Macaluso, who's side by side on this, but it also takes the coaches to buy in. It takes good coaching. So look, all the things that we do, it doesn't mean somebody's going to turn into Jaden Daniels. He had good work ethic, and he bought into what we were trying to do. He bought in what the coaches were going to do. So I think that's the other thing. You have to have a system. And I've been very fortunate that people, would take this information that we're able to identify to assist a player or technology, and it allowed us all to grow. So I think, holistically, I think that's where the thing starting to click. I always believe it has a 1% chance to change something. Well, let's look at it. Why don't we? And that's why we have the reputation that LSU has a really forward-thinking piece. And I got contacted last year. One of the coaches says, hey, Coach Belichick wants to come down here and look at this stuff. And he's coming down, I think, for the Manning camp. And I didn't know Coach Belichick at all. And so he came down. This was right before the season. And he came in and he started looking at all this stuff, and he was just thoroughly impressed with it, because, we were talking, and he's from the area where there's MIT and Harvard, and, of course he's tapped into all that, but there was like a disconnect. The folks just couldn't connect. They couldn't present the data. They just didn't have, they didn't understand the game. So what he said to us, he goes, what you guys have done here at LSU makes a lot of sense. It's easy to follow. It really has really gives us a solid foundation on what we're looking for in data. He loved the VR. They said they tried to build out with Raytheon, the big military supplier. Him and he came down with Matt Patricia, one of his colleagues, and they said they tried to do this, and they weren't able to do it. So he actually has the technology now. He asked us to help him kind of set it up over at North Carolina, and I told him, as long as you're not an SEC team, we're good to go.
Pretty good, Jack. Jack, yeah, you guys told me this, and I don't know if it's true or not, but you always talked about a dominant eye. Everybody's right. Got a dominant right. eye. And so, man, I'm at a camp one day, and I'm talking to Justin Jefferson, and we talking about different things. And he say, hey, I'm one of the few guys. I don't have a dominant eye. I said, what you mean? He said, no. He said, I can see it out of both eyes the same. I was like, come on, Jeff. He's like, no. He said, when you talk to Marucci, he said, ask him if that's not true.
So it's funny. He came back this season, and he came up to me, he goes, I know I have people call you, because I said, well, we'll call him, because he goes, I didn't know those things about me until you start telling me that. And he goes, I didn't know how I could process. And
So he had all these traits, but he is the only player I saw. So we run guys in routes. We have a wearable. And what it does, it locks onto your pupil. So we can see the stimulation. So it's very objective. It's not like it's something that's made up. So we actually run you into the routes that are the most common that we run. We run them at both directions. So you might have a right eye lead route. So if you're from the left side, then you may have a left. If you're on the right side, you'd have a left eye lead route. So you're breaking in. So your left eye. If you're on the other side, the left side. On the left side. I'm getting mixed up. Your right eye would be the lead looking inward. So if you run a slant, for example. So again, I'll say it again. If you're on the right side breaking in, that's your left eye lead side. If you're on the left side, that's your right eye lead side. So, and if some people just think about it, which way you'd want to catch it, they probably almost could tell you. But we want to make it objective. So we do test you. This will be right after spring ball. We'll start testing these guys because we want to put these guys in routes, especially the money route. We know that they're going to see it the best. And I think that's the caveat in making this thing work. So, but if we need to do a head adjustment where we can lower the drop rate to bring the other eye around, that's something we would do. But Justin Jefferson, he was the only player. He's right that I've seen switch eye dominance. You know, as the ball's coming in. Now, Justin also had he has character and he has high-end processing, so he has these tools that it was an easy to say, if you like his talent, he's definitely going to be a high-end player.
Because sometimes, Justin, he wanted to kind of yank my chain a little bit, but on this part, he was right. Jack, listen, thanks so much for joining us. Man, we want to get you back, certainly talk about other things that you're doing, but and I mean this, you are the Thomas Edison of sports technology, brother.
I don't know about all that, but I appreciate
Thank you, baby.
So
thank you, Jack. Jack Marucci does an unbelievable job. And, man, talk about cutting edge of sports technology. Jack Marucci does that in Baton Rouge. Just an unbelievable, talented gentleman there and helping the LSU sports department as a whole. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long. We went a little bit long with Jack Marucci, but, man, what a great interview. And Jack, don't catch a breath, man. He's great with an answer. So we'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long. Want to tell everybody to want to thank Jack Marucci and also Michael Arkish, both great guests to have on with us. But Steve, I think you'll like this. The Eagles have signed former LSU wide receiver Terrace Marshall Jr. That's all they need, another guy that can put the ball in the end zone.
Maybe Terrence can help them bring another Super Bowl back to Philly.
What you got going on in the 6 o'clock hour, Steve?
I'm
going
to get a little bit of Willie Green's pregame coverage of their game against the Bucks tonight. Not many Pels in action, just 8 players available for Willie's squad.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.